Chapter 3. At Home. Mac's black eyes were dancing, and a great grin spread across his face. Tess, seeing Mac's excitement, leapt onto her paws in readiness. Mac, off his chair now, stretched his little black shiny body as far as it would go, and challenged Tess to a romp with his black haunches in the air. Mac and Tess chased each other gleefully around the office.
A real case, Tess, and right up our alley.
Tess slid to a stop, and Mac had to pull up to avoid running into her.
Right, Mac, and we need to get right to it.
There is so much to do. Contacts to be made with friends who follow the circuit.
Library research will be needed. I need to bone up on the criminal activities of dog nappers in the city and the location of kennels for pedigree dogs. I also need to look at newspaper reports on past kennel shows. Mac, research is my specialty. I love trotting over to the big library on Larkin Street. The smell of old books and the quiet atmosphere of the study just fits my personality.
That's what makes us such a good team, Tess. Your talent is research, and I'm a dog of action.
Oh, my. Look at the clock, Mac. We've completely lost track of the time. We'd better get home, or Margaret and Rose will be at their wits' end. You know how nervous they'll get when we get home after dark.
You're right. Let me lock up the office, and we'll get started.
Mac locked the office door and headed down the creaky stairs behind Tess. Tess could hardly wait to begin the research for Silas's siblings, and she danced in a circle on each landing.
Save your energy, Tess. I have a feeling we have many hours of work ahead of us before we wrap up this case.
Mac shivered as he hit the darkened street. His short-haired coat did not protect him from the cold San Francisco fog the way that Tess's thick doggy tresses kept her warm. He heard the clanging bell and saw the mottled beam of light as a trolley car made its way through the murky evening down Market Street toward Church Street. Tess already had her paw in the air to signal the motorman.
Good evening, Jake. We're heading home.
You two look a bit tuckered. Lie down. They're close, and I'll have you home in no time at all.
They both liked Jake and settled at his feet for the ride home. Tess was quiet on the trip, lost in thought of the work ahead. Suddenly, her ears pricked up. Over the sound of the rumbling on the tracks, she could hear snuffling snores nearby. It was Mac, catching 40 winks.
Your stop, mates. 30th Street, end of the line. Have a good night.
Mac jumped up and shook himself. He followed Tess down the couple of steps onto the pavement.
Thanks, Jake.
The two friends quietly sidled down the dark alley, making a wide circle to avoid the garbage cans at the side of their house. And slid in through the side door, which had been left slightly ajar for them. And there, in its usual place, was their dinner. It had been lovingly prepared by Margaret and Rose. Hungrily, they chomped down their meal and then settled down in the day room, each on their own cushion. And then they were soon fast asleep. Rose looked in on them to make sure they were safe at home and was reassured by Mac's heavy snores and Tess's soft wheezing.
Are they in all right? I get so anxious sometimes. It's hard to understand what they do all day that wear them out so.
Don't fret so, Margaret. They're both safe and sound.
Oh, safe and sound.
Rose closed the sliding door and the two old Spencers settled into their armchairs to enjoy their favorite evening broadcast.
The Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson.
Early the next morning, the sun poured in through the porch windows.
Time to get up, Mac. Mac, time to get up, Mac.
Mac stretched his full length three times and then shook his whole body. After a fast romp around the backyard, they found food in their bowls for breakfast. Tess didn't mind the slurping. After all, they had been good friends for some time now, and friends overlook such things. She knew that she had her own peculiarities, like that stare of hers that even her friends found disconcerting when she directed it at them. While they ate, two squirrels taunted them as they ran along the backyard fence, chattering constantly. But Mac and Tess just ignored them. They had more important things on their minds besides chasing squirrels. As Mac licked up the last bits of food from his red bowl, Tess was planning her day.
It will be such great fun seeing old friends at the dog show. But still, I still have to remember, this can't be a party. I will be working. Woof! Mac, I have a few calls to make. Oh, I can't wait to tell my friends all about our new case.
Without revealing any details, Tess.
Of course. Then I'll be at the library for a while.
Great idea. I'll see about getting a current schedule of the dog shows and events. We'll meet up later and organize our information. Just one more bit of breakfast here. Once that's done, it's a walk in the park, right, Tess? Tess?
Tess was already on her way.